Hello, and welcome to this podcast on the Conceptual Framework. My name is Christy Robinson, and I'm a technical principal here at the IASB. I'm joined today by our Director of Research, Peter Clark, and by Rachel Numberley, a technical principal. Because of a technical failure, the ISB's discussion of the conceptual framework on the 18th of February was not recorded or broadcast. The purpose of this podcast is to provide you with an overview of the discussion at that meeting. At the meeting, the ISB discussed issues around the definition of a liability and what should be included in the upcoming conceptual framework discussion paper on this issue. Written summaries of the meeting prepared by IFRS Monitor, technical reporters, and by Deloitte IAS Plus observers can be found on our website. The views expressed in this podcast are the personal views and observations of the ISB staff and not those of the IASB or the IFRS Foundation. So, firstly, Rachel, could you provide us with a summary of the issues that the board discussed?
Yes, thank you, Christy. The board discussed Agenda Paper 3C, which discusses additional guidance to support the definition of a liability that should be included in the, or potentially should be included in the conceptual framework discussion paper. That paper is available on our website. In particular, the agenda paper discusses whether a liability arises when it is dependent upon the obligation is dependent upon a future event. When the future event is outside the control of the entity, then I think there's general agreement that a liability arises. The more difficult question arises when the future event is within control of the entity. That is, that the entity could do something to avoid having to make an outflow of economic resources. There are many transactions where this question arises, including a number of areas that the board has been discussing recently, for example, bank levies. In theory, an entity could avoid a bank levy by deciding to cease trading as a bank at a particular date. But the question is whether that is actually realistic and whether, in fact, a liability should be recognised. Similar questions arise for emission trading and also for some types of variable lease payments, in particular lease payments that are contingent upon sales from a particular premises, where in theory the entity could close down those premises, make no further sales, and therefore avoid making any lease payments. The paper discussed three possible approaches to dealing with this question. Under approach one, the liability would only arise if the obligation is unconditional. If the liability is not unconditional, then no liability would arise. This is probably the narrowest of the three approaches discussed in the paper and would result in the fewest number of liabilities being recognised. Approach two modifies approach one. Obligations would arise, liabilities would arise when obligations are unconditional, but in addition to that, an obligation would arise if the obligation accumulates over time and the entity receives goods or services over time and it has started to accumulate over that period. But in addition, you also must look to see whether there is a possibility of avoiding making an outflow of economic resources and decide that that possibility, although a theoretical possibility, is not a realistic one. Approach three is probably the widest definition of a liability and would result in the most number of liabilities being recognised. And approach three focuses on past events. Under approach three, a liability would arise if, as a result of a past event, the entity has an obligation to transfer economic benefits to a third party on terms that are more onerous than if that past event had never actually occurred. Each of the three approaches were illustrated in the paper using a number of examples and, in particular, looking at some of the real-life examples that the board has been considering over time.
Peter, could you give us a general overview of the board's discussion and, in particular, were any decisions made?
Yes, sure. Thanks, Christy. No, the board didn't take any decisions at this stage, and it was clear that the board would like to see a discussion of all three approaches in the discussion paper that we plan to issue in the middle of this year. There was probably less support among the board for approaches one and three, although there were some board members who supported each of those approaches. There was probably more sympathy for approach two, but also board members, including those who supported approach two, had some concerns about exactly how it was described. And I think if it's developed further, the board would like to see better definition of how approach two works.
So approach two states that an obligation might arise if, amongst other things, there is no realistic possibility that the obligation will be met. Is this a probability threshold?
No, it's not intended to be a probability threshold, because really the crux of this issue is about whether an obligation exists, and it's not so much about how probable or improbable an outflow is. Having said that, I think this was the area where board members felt uncomfortable with how the approach two was defined and would like better definition of that.
Yes, there was some discussion about how the concept of going concern would fit into the guidance.
Indeed, some believe the concept of going concern would actually help in terms of defining a liability. In particular, they were thinking if the only way you can avoid making a payment is by going out of business, then surely there must be some sort of liability. The concept of going concern is clearly not sufficient on its own in terms of defining what a liability is, because if you use the concept of going concern, then there is very little way in which you could avoid next month's salaries, for example, but nobody is saying that you should be recognising a liability for next month's salaries. However, the concept of going concern might be helpful if incorporated into approach two in terms of looking at whether there is any realistic possibility of you actually avoiding making a payment. But approach two, of course, has that additional caveat in there that the liability or the obligation must be accumulating already in order for you to be able to say that a liability actually arises in that situation. And I think some of the board members would like to see a discussion of that sort of going concern concept included within the discussion paper.
There was also discussion about symmetry between asset and liability definitions. Peter, can you explain the point there?
Yes, I think one point that several board members raised was whether if the entity has an obligation in these cases, does the other party have an asset? And the paper made the point that most obligations, in fact almost all obligations we can think of, do actually result in a right for another party. And I think several board members felt that thinking about it from the holder of the assets perspective might be quite illuminating in considering whether a liability exists. There was another aspect of this that board members raised as an aspect of symmetry, perhaps slightly different point, which was that approach two has two conditions in it. One is the point we raised previously about the possibility, the theoretical but not realistic possibility. The first condition in approach two was that it was a kind of exchange notion that the obligation is accumulating over time and that it's in exchange for something else. And some board members also describe that as a type of symmetry between the asset or service that's been acquired and the obligation or near obligation that's building up.
Rachel, some board members also raised economic compulsion as an issue that should be discussed in the discussion paper. Do you have some comments on that?
Yes, the question often arises when looking at liabilities and trying to decide whether liability exists. If an entity is economically compelled to make a payment, or it's economically sensible that it makes a payment, does that mean that a liability actually arises? Existing standards appear to be inconsistent in their treatment of economic compulsion, with some explicitly saying it shouldn't be taken into account, whereas other standards perhaps incorporate some of the ideas of economic compulsion into their thinking. What the board members requested was that the discussion paper include a discussion of when, if ever, economic compulsion should be considered in determining whether there is a liability, although no conclusions or no views really were expressed by the board members as to whether economic compulsion should be considered. The staff did point out at the meeting that we plan to to discuss constructive obligations and economic compulsion at the March meeting in terms of whether those would be sufficient to give rise to something that meets the definition of a liability.
Thank you, Peter and Rachel. I think that concludes the summary for the meeting on the 18th of February. Further meetings or discussions about the conceptual framework are being held this week, and recordings of those will be available on the IFRS website and can be listened to in the normal way. Thank you, and that concludes our podcast.